What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to Fan Culture, episode 17 now.
Yeah.
It's wild. 17. In studio, you got myself, Sid. We got Brandon. We got Carl here. How y'all feeling?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm cool.
You cool?
Chilling.
All right, well, we got a lot to get into. It's kind of been a slower week in sports, it seems like, but still, nonetheless, you know, with NFL season coming around, there's some NFL news that we got for y'all. Get some reactions to that, as well as some NBA stuff, Jeremy Lin, LeBron, all that good stuff. But let's go ahead and start with the one person who hasn't shown up to training camp, Ezekiel Elliott, Cowboys running back. Huge contract dispute right now. You know, apparently he wants at least Todd Gurley money, you know, he wants to be the highest paid running back in the league.
What did Todd get paid?
I don't know his numbers offhand. I want to say it's somewhere in the boat of like $57 million, something like that.
Okay.
I'll look it up. But yeah, he wants, you know, top-notch money.
Right.
So, I mean, when you're thinking about a player like Zeke is leading the league, you know, in rushing. He's a, you know.
Since his rookie year.
Yeah, he gets a lot of touches, a lot of carries. I know one of the things against him was that he didn't really catch the ball that well out of the backfield, but he's been working on it. So all that means is more touches, you know, on the levels of like a Le'Veon Bell or a Todd Gurley or anyone like that. So right now Zeke is training in Cabo until I guess they until they're able to sort the deal out. First things first, do you think he misses any actual regular season games over this holdout?
He might, just because his track record kind of shows that, like, I don't know, bro. It's weird because he didn't have any really issues his first season, but like his second, and then like there's always like something that comes up that like puts him into question whether or not he's going to be able to start or just to complete a full season. Like his first year, I think it was like his like the thing with like his ex-girlfriend. And then his second year, what was it again? Was it the same thing or was it something else?
Man, Zeke has like a little laundry list. Even if it's not stuff that he's actually like done,
a part of.
Yeah, it's just he's been involved.
He gets wrapped up into a lot of stuff,
things,
which is weird. But I hope he does. I hope he's able to start the season with no issues, but. Honestly, do you think he deserves to get paid around that ballpark or what?
Nah, not at all.
No?
Mm-mm.
Why
mean,
is
if,
that?
If we're only talking about on-field production, then yes. Because I do think that Ezekiel Elliott is still a top three back in the NFL. So if you see the other two running backs that I would still put up there. I mean, of course, we still got to see how Le'Veon Bell comes back. But when he left, he was a top three running back. Todd Gurley, we got to see how healthy he is. But him and those two and Zeke are top three. So if you see those other two players get paid a certain amount, you think Zeke deserves to get something in that ballpark. But one thing that the other two don't do is have any off-field issues. You know, Todd Gurley, kind of like a model citizen. He really doesn't do anything. Biggest thing Le'Veon Bell had was him wanting to get paid, being franchise tagged. And then not playing last year. That's the biggest problem he had. But with Ezekiel Elliott, I don't know. I just feel like he has too many problems off the field that would cause like some disturbances with me if I'm in that position to pay him. I would rather not do that.
So you wouldn't pay him because you don't know if he'll be able to be available.
Yeah, I don't trust
for the season. Okay.
I'm not paying you if I don't trust you.
No, that's a fair argument.
I don't care how good you are at your job. If you have problems that can lead to your availability, I'm not paying you.
So at this point, I feel like Zeke has created, whether it's by his own doing or just other people, he's created a reputation for himself that he's kind of it doesn't even sound right coming out of my mouth, but like a problem child or just like, you know, there's going to be some extra baggage there. Do you think he needs to go on like a cleanup tour or just like something to where he can, like, how at this point, what can Zeke do to improve his reputation or just, like stay out of trouble? Can he just, because if you got to leave the house sometime, I don't have it like an example right now, but when you're famous, things tend to happen to you, and it seems like almost like a, like not on your own doing. So I feel like, I feel bad just because he is a really great running back, and I'm biased because obviously I'm a Cowboys fan, and we need him for the season if we're going to make a playoff run. At this point, I feel like I'm not really sure what he should do. Asking for money is one thing. Do I think he deserves to be paid? I think he deserves to be paid around the ballpark, because when he's on the field, he's producing for us. And I don't care really what the rest of the league's getting paid. If he's producing for the Cowboys and he's one of the main guys getting it done and helping the team win between the numbers, then I think you should pay him.
I'm on the fence about it, and I get both arguments. I get not paying him, I get paying him. I'm leaning more towards the idea of pay him. I looked up Todd Gurley's deal. Todd Gurley's deal is like 4 years, $60 million, so about $15 million a year. $45 million guaranteed, because really when we talk about it, it's all about the guaranteed money. It's right. Not really about what you originally signed for, right. What that guaranteed money is. Honestly, I probably wouldn't go much higher on the guaranteed money for the reasons, are you going to play a full season? I mean, that means a lot. If it you, does. Even if you're, you know, leading the league in rushing, or you're, you know, top five in the league in rushing, but you only play 12 games as opposed to 16 because you're suspended for four. What does that mean as far as the standings go? That could be the difference between, you know, being NFC East champs or losing and coming in as the wild card. Yeah. That could be the number one seed that you could be losing by missing, you know, four games. But at the same time, not that the Cowboys, in my opinion, are, you know, Super Bowl favorites or Super Bowl contenders this year, but this may be the last time they have this squad together.
Yeah, they got to pay a lot of people.
Yeah, so you might just have to go all in. Pay him right now. Keep Zeke happy. You know, let him come back in shape and make this one run. Because even if you do say, I don't know, 2 years down the road, you know, Zeke's in trouble again and he misses half of a season, it's worth it because you won a Super Bowl. Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl since, what, 1994, 95?
Yeah.
That's a long time. So if you can just put all your eggs in one basket and just go hard for one run and get a championship out of it, look at what the Raptors did. The Raptors did that. They invested their whole future, and they got a championship out of it. So even if they're in the dumpster for the next 5 years, 5-10 years, okay, cool. They got their first championship.
But also you got to think about Zeke's health. I mean, how many touches did he get last year? You know, he gets a lot of reps.
He's always up there in touches.
So you want to win a Super Bowl, but at the same time, and we haven't even got into Jerry Jones's comments on, you know, what it is.
He said you don't need a rushing champion to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you really want to. You don't, but I mean, do you really want to say that during this time?
Yeah.
I feel like you do.
Hell yeah.
Why is that?
Because you want to put some, you have to understand that when it comes to negotiations, the winner is a person with the most leverage. Sometimes you got to remind that player, you're not as important as you think you are. I would love to have you here.
Who's the most important player on the Dallas Cowboys squad? Dak?
The entire squad?
Yeah.
Shoot.
I mean, you
Who's
could,
the best player on the team?
The best player, probably at least on the offense. Well, yeah, their linemen are top-notch. But
probably a
best,
lineman.
Best skill player on their offense would be Zeke. But I would say I think the most important is probably Dak. Because if Dak doesn't play well, you're not winning, period. You know, like if Zeke doesn't show up, Dak could still have a good game and, you know, potentially make a difference. But even when Zeke's playing well, if Dak's not playing well, the team's not going to win. Just because the quarterback position is the most important position.
Yeah, that's the hardest part about answering that question, is that his position is more important than Zeke's.
But not that.
But at the same
player.
Time, Dak got to get paid, too. Dak so if you do pay Ezekiel Elliott, like Sydney, like you saying, just to keep him happy, well, if I'm one of those linebackers, I got to get paid. If I'm Amari Cooper, if I'm Dak, what about my happiness? You got to give me my check, because if I sign my contract with that guaranteed money, I get that, like, right then and there. I want mine right now, too, if you're giving it to him and I don't have any problems like he does. And then what, I think DeMarcus Lawrence, did y'all re-sign him already?
Yeah, he got paid.
He got the max.
So, yeah, so if I have no problems and he does, you're not finna pay him just because he's crying and I'm not. Like, Amari Cooper, he's there. If anything, he should get paid before Zeke. It's just me, the way that I would run my stuff. You have to, you gotta show me something. And him showing up shows me something. You sitting out, and I understand why, because you look at the three receivers for the Giants. Well, I'm sorry, not three. Only two of them got hurt. Two of the receivers just got hurt in training camp. One towards ACL, the other one, I think he fractured
his thumb.
Yeah, his thumb. So I get it. I definitely get it. But the fact that you're here, I'm trying to hurry up and pay you before that even happens. You sitting at home, I'm not worried about you getting hurt. So I'll take care of you when I feel like it. That's just me.
So you rather not pay him because you're not worried about his health, or because he's not putting himself out?
I would rather not pay him. I would rather not pay him as much as Le'Veon Bell or Todd Gurley because of his off the field issues. I would rather not pay him before Amari Cooper because you're not here.
Mm.
I mean, I feel you on the premise of it, but just imagine how bad of a look that would be if you pay Amari Cooper before you pay Zeke. The reason being is because, although, yeah, Amari Cooper is a part of the team and he's been great while he's been there, like, compared to Zeke, he just got there. You know what I mean?
It's really just based on how you handled the situation.
Yeah.
If you were here, you would have gotten paid first.
Mm-hmm.
But you chose to be there.
So you're saying he would have got paid already if he would have showed up to training
camp? If it was me, I would have paid him already. Yes. If he was already in training camp, I would have tried to figure out a way, or at least tried to figure out a way to pay him, because there's still the issue of how much, where he and I would separate. But I would at least be more focused on getting his deal done than those other players. But if you're not here, I'm prioritizing the people who are.
Has Dak Prescott chimed in on any of this, or is he kind of just?
Not that I've come across or heard.
Not that I've heard, and he probably, it's in his best interest not to.
Yeah, either. I mean, he too busy worried about getting his own check. Yeah. He trying to be, 30, 35 million, per year. So, like, I'm trying to be that guy. I can't worry about you getting your 15, 16, because that's going to eat away at mine.
Yeah.
That's the worst part.
Yeah.
About football and those players and everybody trying to get paid the most that they can. In basketball, it's only two, maybe three people that we can just give that big money to on this roster, and everybody else just getting what they get.
Mm-hmm.
In football, it's so many different players. It's so easy for you to have multiple players be the best at their position.
Yeah.
So if that linebacker on that team got paid this amount, I want that. But the wide receiver and the running back and the lineman and the kicker and the quarterback, everybody wanted like that. And that's hard to spread around.
Yeah. And I mean, I get that, I think Jerry Jones said this is like a good problem to have, because it's like, hey, you've got all these talented players, which is cool, but
for the moment, it's good when everybody is on a rookie contract,
right?
And you're not worried about paying them. When it comes to the point where you got to pay everybody at the same time,
yeah,
it can get spooky when, for you in that front office.
When you've got players on their rookie deals, that's when you need to start swinging at the big free agents and mm-hmm. try to win a Super Bowl. The Seahawks did that with Russell Wilson, mm-hmm. and
Rams tried to do it.
Got back to back. Rams tried to do it as well. Seahawks weren't going to do it after they paid Russell Wilson, because they had to get rid of everyone.
Exactly.
The Browns right now too. When you got a quarterback on a rookie deal, that's when it's really time to jump on it.
What do you suggest he does?
Trade? Somebody got to go.
And get who?
The Chargers got a couple good running backs.
Get some draft capital. I mean, go ahead and get some draft capital and try to retool for your future. I don't know about
that changes the roster.
I mean, get me wrong. I personally wouldn't trade Zeke, but someone's gonna pay top dollar for Zeke.
Somebody got to go. That's the only thing about it. You can't pay.
Or you got to let someone walk.
Somebody
got to
go.
I mean, Jason Witten came back.
How much? He ain't getting $20 million a year.
But think about the guys, you know, like you had Jalen Smith shelved for a year as he recovered from his injury. Mm-hmm. He came on strong. He's going to have to get paid at some point. Leighton Vander Esch is going to have to get paid at some point.
Yeah, I was about to say him.
You know,
corner.
Byron Jones.
Byron Jones. Y'all going to have to pay. And everybody can't get
Michael
15.
Gallup.
Yeah, you still got your offensive lineman.
Everybody can't get 15 to 20 million. It's like everybody can't get that, especially when a quarterback won 35.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
They have to hope and pray that Dak gives them a hometown discount.
And I don't think
he will. I don't know if he will. But Dak, I don't know. Dak's situation is just so weird.
How much of a discount? You want me to shave off 3? Okay. You want me to cut 9? Nah.
Oh, not like 9 annually. That's just, to me, that's insane.
Yeah.
But like, you know, 3 a year could make a difference. You know, incentivized contracts with less guaranteed money could potentially make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But Dak is just such a hard person to evaluate because, okay, he was a 4th round pick. He's well outplayed his rookie deal as a fourth round pick. But at the same time, when you're talking about getting paid top dollar, has he played top dollar caliber quarterback play? It comes and goes. He had a great second half of the season when Amari came over.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, and I've seen him play without Zeke. Cowboys were nothing without Zeke, to be real. So he's just such a tough person to evaluate because the offense isn't all about him. And I don't know. I would hate to be in this situation if I'm the Cowboys.
I trade him too.
Trade everyone for first round picks like the Raiders.
Exactly.
No. Well, let's see how that works out for the
What Derek Carr contract look like?
Who?
Because if this is my thing. I wouldn't mind trading a player for somebody else who's already under contract, especially if they're getting paid less. Let's say Derek Carr is making 27, and I know I can't get Dak at 27. I wouldn't mind that. Yes, Derek Carr has looked shaky since that MVP run that he had a couple years ago, but put him with Zeke. You put him back with Amari, but you put him with Amari in Dallas with a different O-line.
Yeah, so Derek Carr's deal maxes out at $125 million,
mm-hmm.
but he was due basically all of his guaranteed money like in the first 3 years. So his contract is really easy to ditch right now.
And I think he already played 2 years under that contract. I think last year might have been his second year.
So I think this year is his last year of guaranteed money.
So, I would consider it. I would think about it. I would talk about it because everybody can't get paid, and I don't want to pay you that much money if you can't win. Like, there's a difference between a quarterback who's good enough to win with and a quarterback who can get you a win. Dak is good enough to win with, so is Derek Carr. So if I can get him for cheaper, I'll just go get him. Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, those are the guys that will go get you a win. Like, oh, we really didn't know what was going to happen. They just made something happen.
How many, fourth quarter drives did Dak have last year?
Like I said, look who he got around him.
So we don't evaluate him individually either?
Football is just such a tough one.
I mean, that is the individual part.
Because, I've really only watched Cowboys games, to be real. I've seen a lot of plays where he just, especially the one where he ran it in. Like, he's done a lot where he just ran it in. And it's not, on the goal line. It's, a couple yards out. A few yards out.
Because I've heard that, too. Dak Prescott got a lot of fourth quarter comebacks. What has that gotten y'all?
I mean, it's gotten us closer.
Closer? So that deserves $35 million because you've gotten me close.
Okay, maybe we need to restructure Dak's contract then because, honestly—
He ain't got one yet.
Okay, so, I'm saying, what is he? He's asking, what, 33?
He want what everybody else get. I think Andrew Luck just signed a new one, if I'm not mistaken. And Dak has accomplished more than Andrew Luck. So he going to want at least what he getting, at the very least.
Yeah, it's a weird spot for the Cowboys.
And the thing with the Colts is they don't really have the Cowboys problem where you got 6 good young players that you got to pay because they're all in discussion of being within the top 10, 7 of their position.
Mm. Yeah, and Carl, you brought up a good point. So I just pulled up the stats because I've never been a fan of the game-winning drives statistic either, because it can be a little misleading, especially depending on who you're playing with.
Mm-hmm. Or against.
Or against, yeah. So last year, Drew Brees led the league with 7 game-winning drives. In 2017, it was a 3-way tie between Dak, Kirk Cousins, and Marcus Mariota. I mean, year before that, or no, it also tied that year, Ben Roethlisberger and Matthew Stafford.
All got 7.
They had 4.
Okay.
So it was all 4 last year. Or not last year, the year before. Last year, Drew Brees had 7.
Mm-hmm.
In 2016, Matthew Stafford led the league with 8. So it's how many of those players have won at a high level, you know, one. In the past couple seasons. You know, what, Drew Brees being one. You know, Roethlisberger, they made the playoffs.
Yeah.
But Mariota being on the list, Matthew Stafford being on the list.
Kirk Cousins being on the list. First person to get a fully guaranteed contract, and the Minnesota Vikings were worse last year than they were the year before when they had 3 different quarterbacks start.
He might just have to do what you said, Sid, and take the hometown discount.
Yeah, I mean, because I think this is the best spot for Dak to be. So, I mean, I don't think he's one of those guys where he's going to go to some other team, some other system, and you're going to be like, okay, he's going to, you know, just propel his game to a whole nother level. I think Dallas is the best spot for him.
If you send him to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you're not winning 11 games all of a sudden.
Mm. Yeah, it's rough. It's just a rough situation for the Cowboys to be involved in. And, you know, not to say it's Dak's fault. Dak was on a, you know, rookie deal as a 4th-round pick, and his money is just due now. So, you know, it kind of put them in a precarious situation there, and bringing Amari Cooper over, who deserves to get paid as well. Maybe not top dollar, like, you know, top 3 receiver in the league, mm-hmm. but Amari's in the best situation he could be in as well. You just had a career year, you know, and you got your contract coming up.
And it was it halfway through the season, or was
pretty much?
It was just about halfway through the season. Yeah. He played, like, they went 7-1, I think, down the stretch. So okay. He played eight, nine games, you know, with the Cowboys. So perfect time to stop dropping passes and start scoring touchdowns.
They were looking like they weren't going to make the playoffs before the trade. You make the playoffs after the trade. Those are all leverage.
Yeah,
that's all negotiating points that you can bring up.
He's starting to look like the number 4 overall pick that he was.
And you can't say Jerry Jones can't make the comment about receivers that he made about running backs. You don't need a running back champion to win a Super Bowl. You can't say, oh, we don't need a receiver. Can't say that.
No, it's true.
Everyone. You can use a serviceable running back. The Patriots do it every year.
Yeah, didn't they lead the league in rushing with Sony Michel and Rex Burkhead last year?
Their system. To me, the Patriots are kind of like the Spurs.
Trade Zeke for probably another running back and draft capital. Y'all brought back Alfred Morris.
Or how James Conner did last year with Le'Veon being out.
What Rams did with C.J. Anderson. C.J.
Anderson, yeah. You got a lot more stories like that. I mean, Phillip Lindsay was undrafted, you know, last year.
And he showed up. Who knew Aaron Foster was before he sprouted with the Texans? I'm not saying that led to a championship, but it led to a really good running back out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Alfred Morris has played for the Dallas Cowboys before. We've seen his production. Yeah. It's not on the level of Zeke. However,
I think he was, 4.3 yards a carry? I mean, which is solid. It's serviceable. You know, like you said, Carl. So.
But,
At that point, you really get to make Dak prove his contract, whatever he does get, because now you don't have a running back to lean on.
I think that the reason they signed him is as a safety net. You know what I mean? Because, like I said before, Zeke's track record, whether it is on his own doing or just accidental or, you know, coincidence, he finds it harder and harder to stay on the field. And that's just something that in the future he's just going to have to, like, fix or he's going to have a rough career.
Yeah, and I'll make one little more small point before we move on. I just wish that Zeke would take the offseason a little more seriously, because he always comes in out of shape, always. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't take you having to be suspended, you know, during the season and go to Cabo to then come back in the best shape of your life. Like, I understand you don't have to come in, you know, ready to go, you know, game 1 of the regular season, but the way he's coming in, it's not a good look. it takes him 4 or 5 games to start get going. Like, just imagine if he was ready to go game one of the season and played a full 16, you know, already being, you know, the league's leading rusher.
Yeah, he might have hit 2,000 already.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me one bit. So,
is he out of shape, or is that just like how his game is?
No, he normally just doesn't. He normally comes in somewhat out of shape. Okay. Like, physically, you're just not where you should be at this point. But he gets there. But it's just like you don't like when he gets there. Like Sid said, it took you a couple games. Why are you getting there? And the season has already literally started. You should have been like this when you showed up at training camp.
When every game matters already. You are, right. Like, you know, as a Cowboys fan, the NFC East always comes down to week 16, 17. So I can't afford to, you know, lay a couple eggs in weeks 1, 3, and 4 and then try to make that up when I'm down 3 games, yeah, you know, in week 4, right, come week 14.
That's still one of the most competitive divisions in the NFL. Even if it just comes down to you and the Eagles, that's still the Eagles.
Yeah. We shall see.
Yeah.
We shall see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. So we'll move on. We had Michael Thomas that was holding out but just agreed to his deal. So that was a $100 million deal for Michael Thomas.
$61 million guaranteed, 5 years.
Yeah, so just like we talked about earlier, the market always resets, so that makes Michael Thomas now the highest-paid player or highest-paid receiver in NFL history. And I got to say that this is a win not only for Michael Thomas, but this is also a win for Amari Cooper and a win for Julio Jones, because both of those guys looking for new deals. Now they have another standard. I think Amari was somewhat waiting for Michael Thomas's numbers to come out to start to kind of supplant himself and say, okay, this is where I need to be. And Julio, I mean, we all know who Julio is and what he does. Right. Even if he's an older receiver, even if his, you know, top-notch dollars aren't up there, that guaranteed money has to be in that $61+ million, you know, area.
I think it was Carl who mentioned, I think we were talking about it, whether or not Julio's production was his own or I mean, of course, I think it is linked to Matt Ryan, because you said, I think that Matt Ryan just threw some, like,
it was some bad really passes. Bad passes that I've seen.
Yeah, was it last season?
Over the last couple of seasons, okay. Honestly. Like, it's just been multiple plays where Julio got his man beat down the sideline, or it might be a one-on-one matchup, but with, you know, Julio being 6'4", strong as he is.
Right.
You know, the probability of him winning that jump ball, but the ball just being bad.
Red zone efficiency especially just hasn't quite been there.
Not at all.
You know, especially not between, you know, a QB and wide receiver duo of that caliber. I would have to look up the numbers, but they got to be somewhere down in the bottom. Because, I mean, you got other guys, smaller receivers that are still getting open, still scoring touchdowns. You know, DeAndre Hopkins, Adam Thielen, AJ Green, you know, whoever you want to name. They've all got better numbers in the red zone. Because there's no way that Julio should have 5 touchdowns in a season.
Never.
Never. But yeah.
Especially when your running back, your main running back, was hurt all last year.
Yeah. And it's one of those situations, like you said, Julio's 6'4". So, okay, you can go ahead and double team him if you want to, but every offense has in their game plan knowing that they're going to be double teaming in certain situations. So you run different routes, you know, whether you're not necessarily running away from the double team, but basically trying to get that double team off of your receiver. You know, who's not going to try to have, you know, plays run for Julio in the red zone? It's your best target. So, I don't know. It's just not quite right for them. But yeah, Julio's gonna get paid for sure, and I think Amari's gonna be up in that boat too.
Who's gonna have the best season? Or is it too early to say?
Well, out of who exactly?
Out of Amari, Michael Thompson,
and Michael Thomas.
Between the two of them,
and Julio.
And Julio.
Yeah.
Julio will probably have more receiving yards because he always has. I think he said he honestly might try to go for 2 this year. It won't happen.
He said 3.
Oh, yeah, he tripped. Yeah. I say he has the most yards. I say Michael Thomas has the most catches and the most receiving touchdowns.
Yeah.
And I think Amari will fall in between. I think Amari will have the least amount of receiving yards, the least amount of catches, but he'll be second in touchdowns between the three.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's going to get He probably won't even get like 100. I'll give him maybe like 95 and like 1,100, you know, yards. Great season, Pro Bowl caliber season.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Yeah, but, you know, Carl, like you said, Julio is always in that like 14, 1,500 yeah, with 16, three touchdowns. Like,
just a few seasons ago. That man is ridiculous.
Yeah, because he always has one big game where he shows up for like 200 plus, and he may have a couple of those this year. You know, there's no telling, especially with the emergence of Calvin Ridley as, you know, a solid second receiver. Frees up more, you know, opportunities for Julio as well.
I think also it could the reason why you can see like a decrease in his numbers for Amari is because we added Randall Cobb too.
Yeah,
so Randall, I mean, Cobb, it's another target to be you know,
and you also said Jason Witten's back. Yeah, so you know,
and Cole nice Beasley, I think he left.
Yeah, he went to Buffalo, I believe. Yeah,
yeah, that's gonna be Randall Cobb's spot now. We'll see.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so do you guys think that Michael Thomas was worth the money? You know, did the Saints make a mistake by giving him this $100 million or $61 guaranteed?
I don't know. But
I'm going to say no, because he's
nice. When you do, but I'll say this. When you do get that kind of money, people expect you to ball out.
Heck,
and if he doesn't, all eyes are going to be on him. Same thing with Odell. Like, Odell had that crazy season. I don't know how much he got paid after that, but like, you expect him to ball out. And when he didn't, and then there was the antics with Odell. I'm not saying that Michael Thomas will have antics or whatever attached to it. It kind of deflates the paycheck. You know what I mean? So that's why I kind of asked, like, who will have the best season out of all three?
I highly doubt he will do what Dez Bryant did.
Oh, like fall off a cliff?
Yeah, because he fell off. Dez Bryant just turned 30. He fell off early.
Yeah.
Well, Dez can stay healthy. Like, he was always his foot.
Had the Jones fracture.
Or,
that was bad.
You know, target. Like, I feel like Dez was kind of like Odell in a sense where he was a diva, man. For like, and I'm a Cowboys fan saying this. He was really just like just being a diva. Like, he always wanted touches.
Baltimore.
And, you know.
Yeah. Multi-year deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he should have just took it.
Yeah.
He would still be playing.
Yeah.
He would still have been under contract.
Yeah, that makes all the difference. But
so you think Dallas chose up correctly?
Did Dallas make the right decision? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They probably made it a year too late, to be real. Probably should have done it before that.
If they didn't make it last year, they was going to make it this year. Because you got to pay everybody. So we can't afford to keep paying you.
Right.
So either way, he was out.
Yeah,
because his production, like you said, it dropped. You know, not even like the long balls, but like even the short routes. You're just like, bro,
yeah,
come on.
And I mean, and that was something that you don't even have to be a, you know, football analyst or a coach or anything to realize. Hey, there's only so few routes that Dez runs efficiently. Like, you know, Shannon Sharp says it all the time. Like, Dez never really learned how to run the whole entire route tree. You know, he could only do a slant. And
outs,
you know,
nine,
yeah, barely even outs, or just a go route. That's about it. And just, you know, Romo threw it up for him several times, and Dez would go up and get it when he was healthy. But you couldn't tell him to go, you know, run like a hitch route, and he just couldn't get those kind of timing routes right with, you know, a player like Dak or even with Romo. Romo just played off of what his strengths were. Dez was kind of bound to end up being in this situation, like you said, just with his, you know, attitude and everything as well. I know that there was a story that came out, I guess, with all the news coming out about Zeke and the cover up regarding like the vehicle accident that he was in last year. I guess Dez, in response to the TMZ article, said like, this is why he's choosing not to play this season, as if like it's actually a choice by him. Like, he's making it sound like, I haven't reached out to teams to say I'm interested in playing this year, but that's not how it goes. Teams reach out to you to find out, hey, are you trying to play this year, or we're interested in you? Yeah. Like, so he's just fronting, and it's unfortunate.
I think a part of that may have been taken out of context. If I'm not mistaken, I want to say it might have been like his second or his last sentence where he said, you know, this is why I don't want to play football, I don't feel like it, or something like that. That I can believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's just more to life than playing football. He really might be in a headspace where he just doesn't want to play football right now. And then the reaching out, I don't know if he's saying well, I haven't contacted a team to say, hey, I'm interested, or whether somebody's contacted him and he hasn't reached back out with a response. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I kind of took it a little bit different. But if he is trying to say that TMZ or the media has anything to do with him not playing football, I don't believe that, because you dealt with that the entire time you were playing football.
In Dallas, you know, one of the main markets outside of the New York teams, you know, as far as NFL goes for, you know, media attention, like,
it's America's team.
Right. And on top of that, I think just like they're talking about with this whole, you know, Zeke, you know, accident thing. I think Shannon Sharp said that there have been plenty of things that have been told to him about Dez through his playing days that hasn't made it out to, you know, mainstream media. And it's probably a good thing, because he wouldn't even be, probably wouldn't have played in the league years ago, you know, with some of the things that was that dirt that they had on him.
Right, if you don't do anything, nobody's going to say anything.
Yeah.
And with today's climate.
Unless you're LeBron.
Right. And we'll get into that shortly. But no, with today's climate, I feel like things are leaked so easily. If people reaching out to Dez, we would know about it. I feel like we would know.
Yeah.
It would have been leaked.
Yeah. I mean, yes, by now it definitely would have been a story like, hey, three teams, four teams, one team checked on.
Even if we didn't know the teams, just people are interested.
Yeah. I mean, even some came out today about Carmelo, where they said if the Knicks had landed two stars, they would have reached out to him to bring him back.
Right. Which is,
that's weird.
I mean, that just sounds like typical Knicks dysfunction.
I mean, I don't get why that would come out, but I kind of understand it, because there's no reason to bring him back if you don't get those stars, because you might as well just go with young talent, and he can mess that up. Just leave it alone. But if you bring in two veteran stars, then it's like, all right, well, we do kind of need a third guy, and I guess we can get him cheap.
The downside of, you know, because I saw that article get posted as well, just the fact I take it a little more seriously if they said, okay, if we would have gotten Kyrie and Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
But they just make it sound like if we would have gotten Kemba and, you know, whoever, like, regardless of the fit, you just would have brought Carmelo back. Like,
I just feel like the Knicks are the worst front office in the NBA. Like, I don't understand their, like, anything that they do. Honestly, I think at this point, they're literally just trying to get butts in the seats. That's the only reason I would see them bringing Carmelo back. He's future Hall of Famer, common name, familiar face. People are going to want to see him play. And whether that's a farewell tour or anything along that nature, I mean, how do you bring somebody back when the relationship dissolved the way it did, you know? So
everybody doesn't deserve a farewell tour.
Yeah. I mean, while we're on that topic, I believe it was Chris Brixley was Melo's trainer, and basically he made headlines by saying, you know, Melo should be back in the league and Melo wants to have a farewell tour. So you said not everyone deserves a farewell tour. Do you think that Melo deserves one?
I feel like Carmelo should be able to go out
on his terms.
Yeah, I mean, but it's a difference.
But at the same time,
I don't feel like everybody should get terms? That. You know, I can't do this no more, so let me just do it broken down for one last season and wave goodbye to everybody. Mm. Nah, just keep playing until it's like, all right, I can't do this no more. Let me just retire. If you could still play, then there should be a spot for you.
I feel like
to do that. But the farewell tour thing, it's gonna get played out. It's gonna become gimmicky. I don't want to see every good basketball player get one.
I agree.
Because what, does DeMar DeRozan get one when he's ready to retire?
Maybe Rudy just Gay in Canada.
Yeah, like at the end, like, Carmelo was really good, but there
and
are a lot of good.
And why do you need to announce that you're doing a farewell tour?
Sometimes it's like, just, all right, we can see it in you.
Right.
All right, I'm done.
I mean, but Melo was one of those players. I think Melo's kind of like how T-Mac was in T-Mac's era. T-Mac was one of the best players in his era.
Fire.
But most people don't think of T-Mac as a legend. Yes, he's a Hall of Famer.
Which I don't even know about that.
Yeah, but they don't put him in that, like, legendary. Even he's not on the caliber of like a Dwayne Wade, you know, no. as far as just star resume. Power and resume. Star yeah. power, resume, production, all that stuff. And part of that just being injury
you,
history.
I think you can be a legend without having a resume like as vast as, I would say, not
you're
on
talking
the
about
same
like
level.
A Vanilla Ice where you get one hit.
Right, yeah, I'm like Linsanity?
No, yeah, no, I was literally about to say
I'm
that.
Saying, I'm saying on the same level. People know, like, T-Mac was that dude. I'm saying, I want to get back to Melo, though. Melo, I would like for him to have a farewell tour just for, like, crowd service because there's so many Melo fans. And I feel like that's something I would like to see, but I wouldn't like to see it in the capacity he would probably want it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I feel like Melo has always, I don't know, I shouldn't say as always, in recent years has asked for a lot without giving a lot back. And I feel like that, to me, wouldn't want me to watch it because he's going to want to start. If you're going to start, you're going to go to a team that's not going to win a whole lot of games. And then we just gonna watch you lose and put up a lot of points. Like, what's the point of that?
Yeah,
I don't see him doing that. Therefore, I don't think he should do a farewell tour. Yeah.
I mean, Melo isn't as broken down. Melo's really not broken down to be real.
Not at all.
But he's not, just for sake of argument, he's not broken down like Paul Pierce was when he called it quits.
And oh my God,
Paul Pierce got his little mini farewell tour just because, hey, I'm at the end of the bench anyway. You know, hey, everyone come say hi to me and, you know, wave and applaud and all that stuff. But, Brandon, you made a good point because Melo just wants too much.
Yeah.
Like, and if I'm a team, other than to basically, you
know,
increase
attendance.
Are we still
going to run the offense through you? Like, are we still going
to
run the offense?
Only reason I would bring him back is to increase attendance. You know, if I'm like the Bulls or something like that and I, you know, got some cap space to sign you, you know, knowing that this is going to be your last year. Okay, well, let's just go ahead and sell out some games because we have Melo here, and let's play him 10 minutes, 15 minutes a game because we're not competing, but it's just pointless. And there have been a lot of other great players that haven't gotten farewell tours, T-Mac being one of them. Allen Iverson didn't get a farewell tour. He just ended up hopping from team to team to team until he just was not on a team anymore.
Chris Webber didn't get one.
And Allen Iverson is a legend.
Yeah.
So,
I mean... Melo was always in a weird
Tim
situation.
Duncan didn't get one.
Tim Duncan didn't want one. Yeah, he intentionally retired. You know,
Paul Pierce is right out too. I don't care.
Paul Pierce is a legend. He is a legend.
Your nickname is Truth.
I think he better than what he was.
Well, yeah, because Draymond told him. You know, when he talked about
they don't love you.
Yeah, they don't love you like that. They don't love you like they love Kobe. But yeah, Melo was always.
That hurt his feelings.
Oh, yeah, it did. I feel like Melo was always kind of destined to be the odd man out in that group. You know, just, you know, LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Paul. I always feel like Melo was bound to be, eventually just be the lone one out.
Was Melo ever paired with, like, another superstar?
Westbrook and George was, like, the only thing.
AI was solid in Denver.
In his prime. Yeah.
Chauncey.
In his
Chauncey.
Prime.
Chauncey.
Yeah.
Chauncey and AI in his prime.
Amari Stoudemire.
So, I mean, he had his chances.
Wait, Amari was on what team with Melo?
New York.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's
right. But at the same time, there was always a team that was better than them. So, even when he was in Denver... The Lakers had their, you know, back-to-back finals appearances. Mm-hmm. You go to New York, you got to deal with Miami's big three. Boston was still around at the time, even if they were on the tail end. There were just always teams that were
OKC,
better than his teams.
Warriors.
OKC. There were just always teams that were better.
I think he
than
blew
the team
when
he was on.
Decided to go to New York.
He should have went to Chicago.
Yeah.
He should have went to Chicago when he had that chance, when
that
Derrick Rose was
crazy.
Healthy. They would have had a championship. They would have had a championship.
Been crazy.
But he wanted the money. He wanted to stay and get more money and
stay Melo.
Melo told us where his heart was at. Like, you were cool with, you know, playing and just, you know, getting your opportunities and playing in New York, getting your money. And
I think that's why he's okay with not being in the league right now. I mean, I haven't heard.
I don't think he is.
I don't think he is. I think it hurt his ego.
I don't think he's going to cry about it, but I think it's too many workout videos.
It don't.
You're still promoting yourself.
Why is everyone else like those workout videos with, you know, him and Westbrook and Ben Simmons and Trae Young and everyone else is in the league, but not you?
Yeah, him and Kyle Kuzma. that just came out, them working out together.
Kyle Kuzma posted that. DeMelo posted that as well.
Still, like, the people who you've seen work out.
Kyle Kuzma can't work out.
No, but I'm saying the people who you've seen work out this summer, they're not the only people that work out.
Amari Stoudemire got workouts and a private workout. And
so did Monte Ellis.
Monte Ellis, too.
And he ain't played in like 2-3 years.
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of people are leapfrogging Melo. I mean, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, it's like he's getting blackballed or something.
You're Melo. Are you trying to get back into the league?
And if you are, go to the big three.
Go to the big three and just ball out?
Forget it. Just go to the big
three. I mean, you'd be one of the best players.
If Melo goes to the big three and he doesn't lead that league in scoring, I'm shocked.
Yeah, because, I mean, you look at Joe Johnson's last years in the league. And
he didn't look as... like healthy
as Melo, yeah.
You know what's crazy though?
Should average 25 in the big three.
You know what's crazy though? A lot of people like forget how good NBA players are, and like Joe Johnson. How old is Joe Johnson?
Probably 37, 38, yeah, I was gonna somewhere say something in that range.
Joe Johnson will give you buckets.
Oh yeah, Coutinho Mobley.
Coutinho Mobley at 43.
I think we talked about this last episode. Like, people don't understand the level of which the NBA players play at, and which kind of boggles my mind, because when you have certain players in the league or just out of the league like Melo that are not playing, that's why people are just kind of like, dang, this dude is still good and can get it done. Like I said, it's the capacity as which he's going to contribute to a team. If I'm a coach,
yeah, he turned 38 in June.
If I'm a coach, right, I'm like, Melo, are you going to set screens? Are you going to, like, dive on the floor for, I mean, not every loose ball, but, I mean, you know, do what it takes.
Right. I mean, I remember listening to the episode that I was gone where you guys were talking about players and, you know, dropping their egos. And I feel like every aging player, every aging star should model, you know, their years after Andre Iguodala.
Or Vince Carter.
Or Vince Carter. I think those are two of, like, the models that you should look
to. Isn't this Vince's last year?
He's not signed.
No?
Yeah. It's supposed to be his last. Did he announce it? I know he said one more year, so I'm thinking it is going to be his last year, but he hasn't been signed yet.
Dirk said that, too.
Yeah.
You know, playing another one.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
I remember him saying he wanted to play just one more with them kids, with KP and Luka.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think that... yeah, you should model it after Vince Carter, after Andre Iguodala. They carved out new roles. You know, Iguodala was a star, you know, in Philly, in Denver. Mm-hmm. And he went to Golden State and, you know, carved out a perfect role for him.
Yeah, Tim Duncan taking pay cuts. Yeah. Dirk taking pay cuts.
Yeah. At the end of the day, Melo going to do Melo. So.
Yeah, and it's just unfortunate to see it play out this way. But, you know. Some of it is Melo's doing, some of it isn't. You know, like when you think about how things transpired in Houston, how things transpired in OKC, he got scapegoated a lot for that. Mm-hmm. But let's be real, was OKC winning a championship before that, before Melo?
I doubt it.
Nah, was he the problem in Houston? We already knew Houston had all those same problems that they had while he was there. So he got scapegoated for that, but just, hey, two stops, Carmelo Anthony, you know, aging superstar. He's got to be the problem.
One of the things that I feel like Carmelo messed up on as well, because I remember hearing about this a while ago. Carmelo, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron James, the three of them had a discussion about teaming up prior to the big three in Miami.
Yeah.
Melo signed a longer contract than Dwayne Wade, LeBron James. That's why the three of them were not free agents the year.
2014,
right.
I think it was.
All three of them were not free agents that same time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where he messed up at.
Oh, wait, no, you're backtracking to when the big three was originally formed in 2010.
Originally formed to go to Miami. Mm-hmm. Carmelo Anthony was still under contract.
Mm-hmm.
He messed up by not signing the same exact deal as those two. Because that could have been him in Miami.
Instead of Chris Bosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the original plan, but.
Melo wanted it to be his own man and do his own thing. And not to say that there's anything wrong with that, but just be aware of what those potential consequences may be on the back end from you not making those appropriate decisions, you know, to focus on winning.
Right. So, just from a championship standpoint, that might have been probably like the biggest mistake he made, but at the same time I respect it, because if his mindset was just based on, I doubt it, I think it had a little bit more to do with money, but if it had anything to do with competition, let's say at some point he figured, I'd rather not, because I think that would just be a little too easy.
Yeah.
So let me just do my own thing, then I'm fine with it. But if you did that just for money, and because you, I don't know, but yeah, that was, that might be the biggest thing he probably might think back on.
How y'all feel about this Jeremy Lin situation?
Yeah, so.
Or is it a situation at all?
I mean, it's a.
Because a lot of players deal with this.
Right, and that's what I was going to say. It's not anything special, in my opinion, because players go through this every single year of free agency, where someone, come August, come September, still hasn't been signed. You know, Jeremy Lin, champion Jeremy Lin, put some respect on his name.
True. Can't take that away.
I mean, I do feel bad, because, I mean, put yourself in his shoes. Think about, you know, whatever career profession that you're in or want to get into, and you've been doing it for 10 years, you know, at a high level, and, you know, all of a sudden you don't get those calls for those jobs that you're interested in anymore, or they start to kind of phase you out. Like, how do you feel? How would you feel about that? Like, okay, well, I got to forcefully pivot in life when I feel like I still got a lot left in the tank.
I feel like it's weird. You just came off a championship run. I mean, you didn't contribute a whole lot to that run.
I don't even remember him playing in
the
playoffs.
But
I don't,
at the same time, like, who doesn't need a backup guard? Because, I mean, there's certain players that just, like, stay injured. Mike Conley comes to mind. I mean, there's just, like, there's just certain, like, I would say, how does he not have at least a look? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, the level of starting point guards, those are deep in the NBA. But backups from top to bottom, I mean, I don't know who's the backup point guard for the Wizards right now.
I don't know.
I don't even know.
Is it still little dude from Michigan?
Trey Burke.
Oh, yeah. No, he signed with Philly.
Okay.
I'll look it up, but I can just think, when I'm thinking of,
you know, I'm sure he was with New York last.
He was
no,
with New York.
Then he was traded
and then
to
Dallas. Yeah.
I don't know where that dude at.
He just signed with Philly, but he's been all over the place since he left. Who did he get drafted by?
Damn. No, I think Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I mean, technically,
well,
he might
John
be
Wall,
starting.
Yeah, I was going to say, John Wall is probably going to be out all year.
Yeah, so I don't know who that backup is.
You know, I'll look it up, but I'll let y'all keep going.
Well, I mean, I get it, and I do have a sense of sympathy for Jeremy Lin. But at the same time, I wish people would keep the same energy, because I feel like if this was Carmelo, everybody would laugh at him.
That's real.
I saw the post on Facebook. It was likes, wows, and sad reactions. Nobody laughed. Nobody commented, oh, you sound soft, shut up, it's your fault. If this was a, I don't want to pull the race card, but I can't think of any other basketball player who could have come out and said this and receive the same exact response that Jeremy Lin is receiving. Because there's a couple of other basketball players, Joakim Noah, last I checked, he wasn't signed. Mm-hmm. If he said that, would he get the same reaction? Lance Stephenson, I don't know if he would get the same reaction. Everybody in the big three.
Probably not, but they're not going to say.
If Joe Johnson came out and said, like, you know, it kind of sucks to really hit rock bottom.
A lot of them know it comes with the territory, and that's kind of like the nature of the business and of the league. And a lot of guys teeter between, you know, the G League and the NBA. And I think for him, I think he, because it's not a lot of people that look like him in the league, I feel like he's bearing the weight of more than just basketball. I think, like, culturally, he puts a lot on himself. I don't know. Maybe I'm just speaking for Jeremy Lin.
No, but you're making sense, though.
But if I was put in that position, if is he Chinese-American? Or is it,
yes.
Okay. Yeah. You indirectly represent an entire culture by being in the league. That's why Lin Sanity was so crazy, because it's rare. It's rare to see somebody who looks like him.
He's the Asian Jackie Robinson.
so to speak. I don't want to say that. I don't know why you would say that.
But anyways, it was one of those things that transcended sports.
Okay.
For that period.
You guys
of
get
time.
What I'm trying to say. I feel like coming off that championship run, he's like, dang, y'all ain't even gonna give me a look. Like y'all.
He probably
like
was
I'm
hurt by the fact that he didn't even really get to play. On top of the fact that don't nobody want to sign him.
Yeah.
Could be.
I mean, because if I were in his shoes, yeah, obviously a championship is great. And, you know, I'm celebrating with the team because, hey, I'm putting in work too, you know, during practice and I'm watching film and I'm doing all this stuff. But at the same time, knowing that I could have contributed to championship success on the court and I didn't.
Yeah.
And you see games
hurt.
Where Kyle Lowry, what he, I think
he scored zero
score?
Points in game one of the first round of the playoffs.
We've all played competitively in organized sports, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you guys can agree. My coach used to say this all the time. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So a lot of times, if a lineup's working, right, even if a guy could contribute. I know I play with a few guys that, like, in practice, they were solid. I've been in that situation too, where it's like, bro, you can definitely contribute, but like if a coach trusts certain players and like is in a system that's working and he has a rotation that he likes, he's not gonna add to it. He's not gonna change it up.
Yeah.
So I think he kind of got put in that type of situation. But you know, I feel for him, but I don't want him to, if I were to say it to him, and it's kind of like,
just say it.
It's kind of like, I don't know how you would say it. It's, I really don't know how to say it, but it's kind of like insensitive. That's what I meant to say. It's insensitive. I'm like, bro, like it happens a lot. You know what I mean? Like,
get over it.
You know,
find something else.
I mean, you can go overseas and ball out.
That's the thing. Like, okay, yes, this league is done with you, but you can still go play basketball.
Yeah,
you can go to China.
I think it was Dave McMiniman on the jump said that same thing.
Run it.
Dave McMiniman on the jump said
a shoe deal.
Yeah, he said he may want to consider he could be the next Stephon Marbury overseas, and you know, take it overseas and go, you know, basically be a god there. You know, so he could do that at 30 years old. You know, play there for 5 years and have the world, you know, in your hands.
Do you think they would treat him better there than they would here? He would have better reception there than he would here.
He would be far more important in China as a basketball player than he is in America as an NBA player.
Yeah.
You just kind of fall in the shuffle.
They would idolize him being an NBA champion instead of us, you know, making
That's
a joke of it here in America. But I get wanting to still play in the league, though. He's a career, you know, like 11-point per game scorer. I believe it was not this past season, but the season before.
That's solid, bro.
He averaged like 11-4, you know, in Atlanta. So in 19 minutes of play per game.
To not be African American.
Yeah. So, I mean, to
in the league.
So to go from that to, you know, now playing or playing for Toronto and not even being, you know, getting any minutes, it's like I didn't even have no real drop off like that. You know what I mean? To be only 30 years old. So I feel for him, but it happens to everyone
I think
every
it messed
season.
With him mentally, just like I coming off that championship run. He was like, bro, I was on a championship team. Like, yo, nobody calling me at all.
Yeah. And there's a lot of players getting recycled. There's a lot of unknown talents, you know, that get drafted in the second round that end up playing, you know, for a playoff team, you know, logging actual minutes when Jeremy Lin's like, okay, well, I was doing this in the starting lineup when Carmelo Anthony wasn't even playing.
Yeah.
I was playing in Houston. I was playing, you know, in Atlanta. I was playing
with
in Charlotte. I was playing with the Lakers. Like, so, I mean, I feel him.
Brooklyn, he played for a while.
Yeah, but there are a lot of players that you never even really hear about them retiring. But by the time they turn like 32, 33,
just
it's just like they're just not on a roster anymore.
Yeah.
And then you hear about them in the big three. So
true that.
Yeah, you know, big three is always an option. Big three is an option for a lot of
everybody,
players now. So.
I feel like at some point, they are going to have to expand at some point.
They're going to have 30 teams.
That's what I'm saying. Right. Not even just teams. Like, you might have to expand your roster. It's going to be such a demand.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of these dudes that just can't play, especially when you lower. From them lowering the age to 27 now.
Yeah. A lot of players are out the league by 27.
Yeah.
You know? Playing overseas.
That's crazy. That's still heavy. Well, I'm 27.
Yeah, exactly. Just think about getting drafted at 21, 22 years old, you know, 5 years, basically playing out your rookie deal. Mm-hmm. And that's it. that was your NBA career. That's crazy. Was your rookie deal.
That's crazy.
If you even made it, if they picked up your option after the 2 years or whatever. So, unfortunate. Definitely unfortunate.
I wish him the best.
Yeah, wish him the best. Wherever he lands, even if it's on an NBA roster, he'll land on his feet. So he'll be straight.
He'll get a statue before his first game.
Could be. I don't know how.
Marbury got racist one. He'll get one. But
yeah, hey. he would have his jersey. His jersey would sell.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. So we got Jason Whitlock, key hater from the. Oh, we don't even affiliate him with the culture, but. Just key hater Jason Whitlock.
Definitely not.
I mean, when you think about Jason Whitlock, you think about, you know, critical comments made about, you know, Colin Kaepernick, you know, throughout his duration in the league, you know, political stances and everything there. I don't know where Jason Whitlock sits as far as, you know, political affiliation and all that stuff, but generally he's got a pretty conservative standpoint, especially when it comes to a lot of black athletes. So he made some very critical statements about LeBron. If you guys haven't been watching on social media, LeBron has been heavily involved in, you know, his son Bronny's, you know, AAU experience.
From the start.
Yeah. So it's not just brand new, but he's been doing this. He'll occasionally get involved in the layup line and do some dunks and stuff like that. I think Bronny dunked in a game and, you know, LeBron's all wilding on the sideline. So Jason Whitlock just had some very critical comments about it, and I'll pull those comments up so I can get some actual legitimate quotes. But basically people have kind of gone in on him and drug him on social media for some of the comments that he's made. So
drug Jason Whitlock or LeBron?
Drug Jason Whitlock. Okay. For the comments, because
as they should. And I'll just say that, like, I honestly don't know. I understand why Jason Whitlock has a job, because he has a lot of, like, hard takes, you know, in regards to sports or just athletes in general. I don't think it's sports. I think it's just, like, I feel like he targets certain athletes, and then he just goes in on them. But I was really kind of dumbfounded by his comments about LeBron James, just because, I mean, I'm thinking myself as African American, but also, like, growing up playing, like, ball and all that stuff, even since, like, the YMCA. Like, my dad was one of the coaches on like, the YMCA team when I was, like, 11 years old. And, like basically he was there, like, the entire time, and, like, even supporting me throughout, like, my basketball career. But I'm thinking, like, that how much that means to, like a player, but also you don't see that all the time in the African American community. And for it to be LeBron James, right, who is probably one of the best visibly one of the best fathers that I've seen, just like with his family and, like, off the court, not just like, oh, I'm balling out so I can pay, like, my baby mama, or, like, just pay to, like, send my kids to, like, the best schools and all that other stuff. He's being involved in their lives. And we were talking about this before we started recording. To have somebody, like, your dad's LeBron James. LeBron James is larger than life. And I was trying to think of, like, somebody else that's, like, larger than life. And who did we?
Well, I said Kobe.
Kobe, right? Like, people like that don't come around often. And to be able to, like, be an arm's length of them, to talk to them, to, like, do... Bro, if I was, like, in middle school or in high school, be able to do, like, layups with LeBron James and, like, talk to LeBron James. I think I heard somewhere that, like, LeBron James told, a kid in AAU that, like, I hope... Like, you're still in, like, I'm still playing while, like, once you when, get to when the you league.
Make it, yeah.
Like, bro, that makes all the difference. And I feel like, for Jason Whitlock, let's get back to Jason Whitlock, for him to make the comments that he made about LeBron James is just egregious. It's simply egregious, because you can't have it both ways. We see fathers that are not involved in their kids' life. I mean, and then we see, and the ones that they are, you're gonna, like, You're going to ridicule them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, to that extent. So what if he's doing a lay of lines with his son, right? Is he supposed to stay in the corner and be like if he just showed up to games and like, let's say he showed up for like 15 minutes and then left, he'd be like, I guess LeBron doesn't really care much about like where his son, like how much attention his son is getting, or like, you know, it'd be something else. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you legit can't have it both ways. I don't have a problem with it. Now, if it was other parents saying like LeBron wilding, bro, even then it's like, but is he like, I'm trying to wrap my head around, how is this a problem? Mm-hmm. And how would this bother other people?
Yeah.
I don't know. What do y'all think?
Girl?
I don't know, man. I feel like people just be talking too much about stuff that's not really important. People just have opinions on stuff that an opinion shouldn't be had on. It's a layup line. He's getting the kids hyped. Like, he's turning up the crowd. So what? Only thing I would be concerned about is, you know, is it smart for him to do that, knowing he has an opportunity to win another championship this year with the roster that the Lakers just put together? I don't think him doing a layup line, dunking for the crowd, being an entertainer, I don't think that should have anything to do with how people may look at him as a parent. You know, I just don't feel like they go hand in hand. Kind of like what Brandon was talking about. If he did show up and he just sat in the crowd and he was on his phone the entire time and he didn't watch not one play,
they would say, does he even care about his son's game?
Look at him. He was just completely, you know, not entertained, or he wasn't into it. I mean, he's like a regular parent. You get hyped when you see your son dunk for the first time.
And I've seen worse from, you know, regular parents, you know, all up in other parents' faces, like, my son is better than yours and all this stuff, and your kid shouldn't even be playing. And he's LeBron's not doing that.
Yeah, and he's on the sideline giving, like, if you could get real basketball advice from LeBron James and you're, like, in the eighth grade, like, to work on your game personally, bruh. Like, and this is what I don't understand about Jason Whitlock. He had an issue with Colin Kaepernick taking a stance for, like, kneeling for the flag and against police brutality. Like, I get it. If you're a Republican and or whatever I don't want to get into politics because this is not a political podcast, but like whatever your political stance is, I feel like Jason Whitlock, I don't see a lot of the reasoning behind his stances a lot of time. Because if you're bringing awareness to an issue, right, we should be talking about the awareness, not necessarily like him not playing. Like, what? I really don't understand like his stances a lot of times, and it's usually, like you said, Sid, against like players of color. I don't know. Does he have a vendetta against certain players? Like, I don't get him.
I think Whitlock is one of those black people that feel like they have to go out of their way to prove to black people that we aren't perfect because of how much we focus on other races and how we may be oppressed by them.
Can you explain that a little more?
There are black people who, they look at other black people and they don't like what they see.
They
feel like it's our fault. So they constantly try to hold a mirror up and remind us of who we are and the way we act.
Or remind us not to make excuses as black people. Hey, everyone goes through problems. Why are we putting them all on social media, making it seem like it's everyone else's fault? So there are a lot of people like Jason Whitlock from that standpoint, Carl. Like,
and I just think he goes a little too far. I think he loses his own motive when he talks about it, because the stuff that he talks about has nothing to do with nothing.
Yeah, it's just irrelevant. Like, I really don't understand where he gets the.
It's just some stuff like
where he gets it from.
You know, like, why are you talking about that?
Yeah.
What does that have to do with anything?
Whitlock is one of those shut up and dribble, shut up and run, shut up and catch the football, shut up yes. and throw the football. That's who he is to his nature. So I'm not going to say he's putting on a front for anyone. I think that's just really what's in his heart.
Yeah, I think he's a, can I say Uncle Tom?
Yeah, you already said it. But no, I don't
think he's just that on television. I think at the house, he's Uncle Tom too. Yeah. I think at the house, he really just always got to talk about, yeah. It's not enough to, and I'm only saying this because if I never see you express that same energy toward any other group, like, okay, I'm friends with this dude on Facebook. I understand that you're a Republican. I understand that you're a Trump supporter. But why does everything that you share have to be pro-Trump or anti-black? You don't share nothing positive about black people. You don't share nothing negative about Trump. You can be a Trump supporter and still say, I mean, I didn't like this, but that's still who I voted for because his opposition was Hillary. You can do that. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. I can defend and I can attack LeBron James. Just as a fair individual. Yeah. I don't think Jason Whitlock is a fair individual. I never hear him talk about positive things black people do. It's really all, or maybe it's just what I'm clicking on.
I've never heard about him making statements strong statements for the culture.
Yeah, just at some point, it's something you can. Yeah. It's something you can support, even if you're okay. I didn't like this about LeBron being in the layup line. Blah blah blah. I commend you for being at the game. I commend you for being present. I commend you for being there, and I respect you for that. But it's just this one part. I never hear that.
Yeah, he's always critical of the big names. Another one that I think of, you know, we already mentioned Kaepernick, but he's very critical of Odell all the time. Very critical of Odell. He is, I don't even know how to explain it. He is just
to me, he reminds me of people you find in the comic section.
Yeah,
but YouTube and like
he's one of those. I feel like he speaks on a lot of stuff that he doesn't even know. Like he loves to make these comparisons to, you know, these stars wanting to be social media icons, and he talks about the impact of social media and all this stuff. I don't even think he runs his own social media. To be real, he probably got someone that runs it for him, runs his Instagram, runs his Twitter, and does all that stuff. So, you know, you're going in on all this stuff as if you're an expert on social media and its impact. Like I get. You know, the generation that you come from, you know, you're coming from a more old school generation, but don't try to come in like you're, you know, this social media expert. And you talk about everyone making these parallels to, you know, wanting to be a social media icon. He talks about LeBron trying to build his social media brand by doing things like this and being in front of the camera and being all extra. I think he even tried to make the parallel between LeBron's parenting and LeVar Ball's parenting, which one, I've never criticized LeVar's parenting, only because, one, that's not, two reasons. One, that's not my lane.
None of my business.
None of my business. Two, I don't see everything. So how am I going to speak on the 10% that I see, you know, on an everyday basis?
It's not like he did raise three. What's the worst thing we've seen? Yeah. One of them stealing?
Jell-O stole. In China, which how many kids have done, gone overseas?
Let's be real. Who's never stolen something? Who's never committed a crime? Who's never done something that they just weren't supposed to do?
Or just being like a kid. Like, honestly.
I'm saying, at some point, everybody's done something that they shouldn't have done.
Oh, that was really dumb.
Right.
But like, I thought back to like when I was 18, 17, 16. Like, you do dumb stuff when you're a kid.
I do dumb stuff at 27.
And why has LeVar not been commended or gotten any credit for how LaMelo has been? Because LaMelo at 15 seemed like he was going to be kind of a wild one. But he's hooping. He's playing well. He's going to play in Australia, go to the draft after that. Like, he's doing well. And he's matured a lot over the years.
And he caught a lot of flack for pulling him out of high school. Yeah. And he still might go.
Melo's not looking like a spoiled brat to me. No. Like he looked 3 years ago. So, I mean, but LeVar had nothing to do with that because he's not a parent or not a good parent. So, but like, Brandon, like you said, he's in his children's life. He got them all, or he has them all on the precipice of, you know, reaching the NBA. How many dads are doing that?
Not a lot.
So,
hard, like, just to get them like to that point.
Yeah.
And they did it on their own terms, which that's one thing I commend LeVar Ball for, is doing it on his terms, because not a lot of people are able to do that. Yes, you can sign with like the big like companies and all that other stuff, and get cashed out. But to go and do it yourself, that's hard to do. Yeah. Do I agree with everything LeVar Ball did and does for his kids? No, I'm not going to agree with everything. I'm not a parent either. So I just think that for Jason Whitlock, I would like to see, I'm probably not going to see it, I just would like to see him advocating more for black players.
Yeah.
That's I would like to see.
Just be even.
Yeah, just be even. I mean, Jason Whitlock is...
And don't act like he out there like cussing people out on the sideline or...
Right.
Or like,
he literally brought up the fact that, well, y'all heard it, LeBron James' mom jumped in the game and he told her to sit your ass down. There's a complete difference between LeBron James' mother jumping basically onto the court in the middle of a verbal dispute between LeBron, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett in the middle of a basketball game.
That's a situation
NBA
where
game.
The normal fan will get kicked out.
Yeah, like, no, this you gotta chill. You tripping. Yeah. Like, one, this is three men in the middle of an NBA game, and you're still a fan right now. Like you said, you can't walk over. You can't come over here like that. There's a difference between that and LeBron being in a layup line before his son's game. He's not stepping, like, he's not in the game trying to play.
Yeah. I just feel
that'd
like
be different, like LeBron so James trying to put on a jersey and play.
I just feel like Whitlock's mindset would be a little bit different if, because to my knowledge, I don't think he has any kids. I don't think he's married. He was a college athlete at Ball State.
Yeah.
But let's be real, Whitlock, I remember when, you know, the hair that you have on your head, I remember when you didn't have it and you wore fedoras every day because you didn't have no hair. So
didn't have it on a Friday,
and now
had
here
it on
you
a
are,
Monday.
Exactly. Now here you are putting on a facade, and I got to listen to you as if you're the most genuine person in sports.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So Whitlock bothers me. He has all these like Whitlogs on Speak for Yourself, and he always says something that's just like,
he be capping, bro. I really don't understand that, man. I wanted to talk to about that brawl. Do y'all know what started that brawl?
No.
I don't know all the particulars, but I know that pitcher that charged the mound was involved in something before. The Pirates and the Reds do have a little bit of a history as well. So it's not like this was all. Yeah, there's always tension. When it comes to baseball, there's always tension. It's never really like a one-time thing. Like, they've had bad blood. So
once Cincinnati was getting their ass whooped 3-11 at the top of the ninth.
Damn.
Yeah. So, I mean, these whole like,
it looked like they was just talking stuff. Yeah. So the pitcher, he just ran towards the,
You watching right now?
Yeah. Like, they was talking at the mound and he literally charged their dugout, and it was about four dudes and he just hit one with a left and they all start fighting.
Which is very ballsy, because most people, they're going one on one. They're not going to go charge a whole dugout.
He's
knowing that there's
dude,
like
though.
15 people in the dugout. And your players are nowhere to be found.
What's
or nowhere
his
close
his name
to
is Amir Garrett.
Yeah, Amir Garrett. So.
Should they let them fight like they do in hockey?
Yeah. So, and that's always an issue that I have, because why, when there are brawls in baseball, they never talk about these thugs, these spoiled thugs.
This is why I wanted to talk about
this. That are over here
this.
Throwing punches.
Yeah.
But let them get in a little scuffle in the NBA.
Getting out of control.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah. Baseball, they let it happen because...
Hockey too.
Yeah, I don't get in baseball. How can you throw a 95-mile-an-hour fastball
at somebody's head and still stay in the game?
Exactly.
But if you hit somebody too hard in football, you're ejected.
Yeah, but according to baseball's unwritten rules, and we're going to have an unwritten rules episode, because this is one of the ones that bothers me the most, is that you'll have people in the comments, you know, former baseball players or just avid baseball fans, be like, oh yeah, no, he deserved it. Like, he should have known that was coming. Like, I understand, like, just like the physicality of basketball. Okay, if I set a hard screen on you, okay, you're probably going to try to get me back at some point, but I don't expect you to, you know, elbow me right in my eye socket,
or something
like that on the next play.
Yeah.
Like, especially 95-mile-an-hour baseball, like, people die from, you know, impact like that. You know, people have serious facial injuries. Yeah. So I don't understand why they let that stuff slide in baseball. I think sometimes you can look at skin tone being a factor.
It's governed. It's governed under a different set of rules.
Yeah. In baseball and in hockey, they want to self-govern. They don't want to have, you know, the league come down and make the league soft or anything like that.
I mean, I don't know if you would be making the league soft, but I mean,
that's always
a lot of those. Those sports to begin with aren't. I mean, is hockey marquee? If we're ranking, depending on where you live,
it's a major American sport.
Okay, depending on where you live, though, how many people? If we broke down like ratings or just like player, not player, fan attendance or just like generating money, right? What would you rank like the tier of like sports in America?
Major sports in America, it's probably fourth behind, you know, Major League Baseball, NBA, NFL.
Okay.
But it's a major sport in America. Yeah, hockey or NHL is, yeah.
Yeah, so. I put it fourth. Okay. I mean, what else would you
kinda
put?
Kinda by default, yeah. There's not
tennis. I don't even know if that's.
Yeah, but even then, though, you're talking, now you're starting to get to like international.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Too, like, I don't know if those are solely really
American
count.
Leagues. Yeah,
I mean, definitely NHL not putting is, soccer.
Yeah, yeah. MLS don't get love like that. WNBA doesn't get love like that.
Big Three still kind of new. Yeah. Yeah. World Series of Poker. Like, I don't even know what else you would put there.
So I think the reason why I brought that up is because I think they need that little extra element to keep them relevant.
Yeah, I mean they're doing a lot of different things in baseball right now. Like they have the pitching clock that got enacted, I believe. Was it last season or the year before? Just trying to speed up the game because
too slow.
Right. You got some people that love those drag out games. Oh, I love to see a game go, you know, 4 hours for 11 innings. But other people, casual fan, I'm not checking for that. Like, I'll go to a baseball game. Like,
I'll go to a
baseball game in person. That's more fun than watching it on TV. Like, way more fun.
I watch in the postseason mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's usually when I start watching more heavy.
Yeah, but no one's trying to watch, you know, a pitcher stare down a batter for 30 seconds before throwing a pitch.
Yeah.
Okay, and now.
Knowing that it's going to be at least 5 more or whatever.
Exactly.
Or 6 more. You can go up to 7.
And don't let it get to a full count, and then they keep on hitting foul balls.
Exactly.
It's been this one at bat that's been 10 minutes. Like, I'm not checking for that. Like,
right. Out one or first out.
Exactly. Like, come on, bro. Man. I thought this 3 innings passed already. Like, it's barely one out. So,
it's crazy. Yeah. I was going to say, though, the reason why Amir Garrett was probably comfortable charging the dugout by himself. He's 6'6".
I don't know how much he weighs,
but like when I saw it on TV, I was like, that guy's kind of big.
Yeah, and I think that he had said previously, and I think it was in reference to the Pirates, he was like, basically something along the lines of, oh, they can fight we can fight if they want to fight. Like, he's like, you know, I know Puig's got my back, and Yasiel Puig's not a small dude either.
Nah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he got right in there, like he does. That's on brand for Yasiel Puig. But just the fact that he had gotten traded to the – or it was like moments before he got traded to the Indians. So, shout out Yasiel Puig. You're just defending whoever you want to defend. So,
doesn't matter Yasiel what uniform Puig you're in. Low-key wishes he was a boxer.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a – it's a little bit of that Latin spirit a little bit. So shout out. Yeah, spicy. And, you know, I think that's probably even turned off some of Major League's fans against him as well, because he's a little too spicy for their liking.
I mean, that's probably one of the same reasons why they like him. That's probably the same reason why he's built up a name. I mean, he's a great baseball player. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you have to have that extra, like, intangible – characteristic about you to make you even more popular.
For sure. But yeah, I mean, like I said, we're gonna have to have an unwritten rules episode and talk about some of the unwritten rules in any sport.
That same that energy when it comes to other leagues.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
like NFL. Like, I'm not advocating for when players to fight. I'm saying if they do, should you guys come down on them as hard as would you as other players in other leagues.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I've seen just like on sports centers, you know, social media and things like that. I think it was like the anniversary of when Alex Rodriguez and Jason Varitek got into a fight, you know, in the Yankees Red Sox rivalry. But like they like memorialized that as in like this great spot in history. But we don't say, hey, 15 years ago, Malice in the Palace. You know what I mean? Like, we don't glorify it like that.
No, they don't even like talking about that in the
exactly.
NBA.
We don't really glorify any NBA fights, you know, mainstream media.
Well,
at least.
I think
like,
partly because they involved fans.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that one involved fans. But I mean, even then, we don't talk about how, you know,
Christie and Rick Fox.
Exactly. 20 years ago, you know, Shaq charged Brad Miller. Like,
when he swung on Charles Barkley,
right?
And he hit him in the head with the ball.
Exactly, or Chris Childs and Kobe. Like,
the only time we look back on it is when you have like the two of them on, and then you can see that they can like laugh about it.
Yeah. and that's about it. So, yeah, like Brandon, like you said, keep that same energy when it comes to those other, you know, predominantly more multicultural leagues as well.
Right.
But yeah, so this wraps up another episode. Y'all got anything else to add?
Nah, I like this episode, man. We got to talk about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, nah, it was fun. It was fun. So, as always, just make sure to check us out on Anchor. We got, you know, all the episodes are being posted there. You'll have first access to those there. I started to post some of our older episodes on YouTube as well. So I'm working on getting all those uploaded. So check those out as well. We'll leave the link there as well. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all there as well. Make sure to leave us voice messages. If you're on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, make sure to give us a 5-star rating as well. We definitely appreciate that. If you're interested in being on the podcast and think you can hang with us, send us direct message on Instagram as well, Facebook, and we'll see what we can set up there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's a wrap.
All right. Till next time, y'all. Peace.
See you.